you and I, you know, both were talking about the Jets hiring a former head coach, somebody that had the alpha male attitude and somebody that would come in and basically grab the organization by the throat and straighten it out. I don't know if Aaron Glenn has that. A former teammate, I'm happy for him. I've said probably 1,000 times during this hiring cycle that I had hoped that he got a job, that he deserved the job. His success in Detroit spoke for itself. But I didn't want him to have it here, not because I don't think he's worthy, a worthy candidate. It's just that I think that this job is a beast of a job. And maybe Woody feels that Aaron Glenn would connect better with his young star players on his roster. And that is really of paramount importance for the Jets and Woody Johnson in particular. Because remember, Woody is making this decision. This is his decision 100%. He could have all the different recommendations from everybody. But as I was reading this morning a little bit about Aaron and the influence that other people may have in regards to who Aaron is as a coach would be the Parcells tree. So, you know, he played for Parcells as a Jet. He played for Parcells as a Cowboy. You know, he's known Bill. Bill has probably given his blessing in regards to Aaron and his future as a head coach. And so is Mike Tannenbaum, would obviously have connections to Aaron Glenn through Bill Parcells and would know him. And by the way, when they all got here, Aaron Glenn was on the Jet team. So they all know who Aaron is. And that's one of the reasons why I think that they're pretty hot on the trail for him. But again, the thing that worries me, and I think it worries you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, is just the inexperience as a head coach and everything that goes into it for this particular franchise at this particular time.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we've been saying. I agree. I think Aaron Glenn could be a really good coach somewhere else. I needed to see someone who's done it before, who's gone through it, who has dealt with an owner before, who has dealt with a fan base, who has stood up there every single day, answered the questions, the pressure, all of those things. I needed someone who went through that. So, you know, if we weren't going to talk to Mike McCarthy, Pete Carroll, or John Gruden, the guys that were on the list that filled that were Matt Nagy and Brian Flores, and I would have preferred either one of those guys other than Aaron Glenn. And it's tough to talk about this because I've admired Aaron Glenn for a long time. I mean, this guy was one of the best defensive backs in Jets history, and he did a great job there in Detroit. I remember watching the Hard Knocks in Detroit, and he was a character, and he was great, and you could tell he was on the way to being a head coach somewhere. But you can't come out of this mess with someone who's going to be learning on the job. And then, so it's to me, it's not as much about Aaron Glenn, the man. It's about Aaron Glenn's experience and lack thereof when it comes to being a head coach. So
that's really the only knock against him right now. I mean, at the end of the day, he's one of these assistant coaches, former players who has ascended through the ranks. And this is exactly what the NFL wants. I mean, this is the prime example of giving a guy a job who's gone through the ranks, who's been through it as a player, and, you know, has obviously had success as the defense coordinator when his team was totally healthy out there in Detroit. You know, the other thing, too, you and I were talking this morning before we got on air here, and you wonder where, like, in the pecking order of the Detroit Lions and their success over the last 3 years, where did Aaron Glenn fall in that pecking order?
Yeah, so if you look at the Detroit Lions, why they have a ton of success, to me, before you get to Aaron Glenn, and tell me if this is fair or not, you got Dan Campbell, who sets the tone. That team plays in the image of Dan Campbell. It's Detroit. He's a tough-nosed guy. He's there. He's for his players. We see the veins popping out of his neck. He was perfect for them at that time. Okay, that's there. This team did not become the team that they are. And when winning all the games, going to the NFC Championship game, getting the one seed this year until Ben Johnson became the offensive coordinator. All right, so there's two guys there. You look at their drafts, they have drafted as well as anybody. I mean, maybe you'd say the Philadelphia Eagles have drafted a little bit better, but the Detroit Lions are right there in the last couple of years. So if you've got the perfect head coach, the offensive coordinator that everybody wanted who ends up going to the Bears yesterday, and one of the better front offices, then, you know, where is Aaron Glenn and all of that? And then, by the way, you know, using the injuries as an excuse to me just doesn't fly. Like, that's what a coach really shows that he's a great coach, is when you don't have all the great players and you still somehow find a way. So If he were the Saints head coach, I would like it a lot better. It's just like I said before, it's tough because I don't want to knock this guy. I just cannot now celebrate after months of me saying, after Rob Saleh got hired, that the next guy's got to have experience. He's got to walk in there. He's got to know what he's doing. He's got to take this job by the balls. Then they hire a guy who's never been a head coach. I can't sit here and say that I like
him. Yeah, the Jets are going down that road again. The last time they actually hired, I believe, a head coach that had head coaching jobs was Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is falls in line with every other coach.
Oh, Adam Gase, actually.
How long will he last?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. So it is a huge job. I hope Aaron's ready for it, if in fact he does sign here and he understands what he's walking into. I think you always think of yourself as being the guy that's going to be the difference maker, especially when you are becoming the leader of a particular franchise in the NFL, and that you can be that alpha personality that is going to coach the entire roster, which he went to great lengths to make sure everybody understood that he's not just a defense coordinator, that he will be a coach of the entire team. Now, interestingly enough, Ben Johnson got hired by the Bears. The first thing you saw and you heard about Ben Johnson was that he was putting together an all-star staff.
Yeah, Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator.
Right, like he's already got his staff together. Like he's ready to rock and roll. He knows what's going on. And by the way, he could have picked any team he wanted, and he wanted Caleb Williams. And the interesting thing about that is that it's in the NFC North with the Lions. So he, you know, I think the Bears, what they did here is they made the Lions weaker by stealing their offensive coordinator and made their own team stronger by making him their head coach.
Yep.
So that's a double win as far as I'm concerned with the Bears. And I think there should be genuine excitement about Ben Johnson going there because of the effect that it's going to have on the Lions. And it looks like the Lions are losing like three or four different coaches, maybe even more than that, depending on if these coordinators bring some of the coaches that were coaching under them with them to their respective new teams.
Also losing guys in the front office because there is a good chance that you might have Chris Spielman, who was a Lions executive, who was the brother of Rick Spielman, who was a part of the 33rd team that went out and was running this search, which is just hilarious.
I'll tell you, it's nepotism all over the NFL. You know that at every level, whether it be nepotism or just family members or whatever the hell you want to call it, however you want to describe it.
And the other one is Commander's assistant GM Lance Newmark, who knows Aaron Glenn and has worked within the Lions organization as well. So, you know, basically they went out and they got the head coach and then are pairing the GM with that head coach, which normally is not the way that I like it. I mean, if you're someone like Bill Belichick, then yeah, that could work that way. Someone in the front office, even though Bill would probably be the GM, or if Pete Carroll came in, you say, all right, Pete, who do you want to work with? But when it's a first-time head coach, hiring the coach and then finding the GM that works with him, to me, is ass backwards.
Man, I just hope through this interview process, because they interviewed half the NFL.
Yeah.
I just hope they asked the right questions. I hope they asked about, you know, the way that Aaron sees his coaching staff, the way he sees game day, the way he sees how they're going to practice, the way they're going to meet. I mean, all of those things that the head coach, and look, he's been exposed to a number of really top quality coaches, including Dan Campbell. And Dan Campbell had to start off slow until they really started to hit it. And they started to hit it a little bit in free agency, a little bit in the draft. They made the trade for Jared Goff when they decided Matt Stafford could go out to L.A. And they got some extra picks back for that.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of good things that they did in Detroit and a lot of good decisions that Brad Holmes, their general manager, made in order to build that roster to get it where it is today. And it's unfortunate for Aaron that he lost so many players to injury this year. And, you know, I think the thing, unfortunately, that happened this past weekend was the 4th and 2 where they had 12 men on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, and it looked like it was a little bit helter-skelter on the sideline. That's the last thing I want to see for the Jets, you know, when they take the field, because it's a different beast. It's a different animal. And I'd also want to know with Aaron, like, you know, do you have somebody that you're going to bring with you or that you need to help you manage football games? Because every head coach needs to have that. Every head coach needs to have that guy in his ear talking situational football when the game is being played. It's not just standing on the sidelines screaming at everybody. It's, you know, getting everybody all on the same page, organized. And then when the real hard decisions come at the end of the first half, at the end of the game, when you use your timeouts, when you don't use your timeouts, who's your quarterback going to be? Can he handle it? I mean, there's a million variables that go into this. And that's why I don't necessarily know that the Jets is the best place, because we've seen it. It's not the best place for an inexperienced head coach.